We're being joined right now by one of the bright young stars of the Ring of Honor wrestling promotion and of the entire wrestling scene, for that matter, Austin Aries. And Austin, you've made your transition back into Ring of Honor after a little bit of a hiatus. We wanted to talk with you about how things are going in your career, Ring of Honor, in Japan. You seem to be popping up everywhere nowadays. So first off, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. And you mentioned that you're in the car headed somewhere. Are you headed to another show?
No, actually, I'm on a little vacation for the weekend up in Minneapolis for a buddy's birthday celebration. And but I'm not driving. I'm actually just a passenger. So everything's all safe.
So you actually take weekends off?
When I do get a weekend off, I enjoy it. You know, they're few and far between, but I usually have one off maybe once every 6 weeks or so.
All right, so it's been some time, several months now that you've been back full-time with Ring of Honor. You had
right.
your stint in TNA for a while. How has the transition back as one of the top stars in Ring of Honor been the second time around?
Oh, it's great. You know, it's definitely a place I enjoy being. A place I feel appreciated allows me to go out and do the things I like to do in the ring. And I really think Ring of Honor right now is picking up steam with the pay-per-views and really strengthening our core markets in New York and Chicago, and adding new markets out west and down in Florida. So it's a good time to be part of Ring of Honor, and I'm glad to be back there full time.
You mentioned that you feel fully appreciated now, and it always seemed from our side of things that your time in TNA, you were a little underutilized, and you wouldn't be the first guy in TNA to be underutilized. You came in full steam in that internet poll where the fans voted you, they wanted to see you in, and then things somewhere along the line fell apart. Looking back now, are you disappointed with the way your whole tenure in TNA panned out?
Obviously I would have liked things there to work out a little better. I think there's a lot of people that can say that, but that's in the past now. We're just looking forward to what's ahead of me.
In the time that you left TNA and came back to Ring of Honor, did you ever have any discussions with any other promotions, maybe WWE or somewhere else overseas to work full-time for them, or were you only set on Ring of Honor?
Not really much contact with WWE in the last few years, just because I've been under contract other places. As far as internationally, I've got a good working relationship with Dragon Gate right now. I was there last month. Actually, this month, going back next month for 10 days. So that's the main place overseas I work, and I really enjoy when I get to go over there. It's always a fun time, and they're a well-organized promotion.
Ring of Honor has had already 3 pay-per-views. A lot of fans are just finding out about them due to the fact that they're on pay-per-view. Have you heard of
right.
anything, for 2008? We've heard some rumors that they're talking with the Versus Network of possibly doing a one-hour show about the growth of the company in the next year.
Right. I've heard a lot of the same things I'm sure you've heard. And, there's just a lot of factors that play into those things. So I think they're going to follow their game plan, which has always been slow and steady. Believe in the product and find someone that believes in the product and doesn't want to change it. Because we think what we put on the table is can entertain people, and we think there's a market for it.
You mentioned that, now in your time in Ring of Honor, you're as we said, you're feeling good, you're feeling comfortable. You have this sort of storyline going where you came out and said that you felt like underappreciated. Obviously, that's part of a storyline. Is there any, when we always see those things, we wonder if they're sometimes playing off of stuff that goes behind the scenes. Is there any connection to that, or is this just another gimmick?
Well, I think there's always. I think the best storylines are always the ones that hit a little closer to home. The things that you really feel. I've always felt that the Ring of Honor fan base is one of the hardest fan bases to please, because they are so passionate about the product. They're smart to the product. Maybe sometimes thinking they're a little too smart for the product. So I think sometimes. You can feel underappreciated because you feel that sometimes they miss the big picture because they're maybe too busy nitpicking and not just enjoying what we're out there doing.
What would you rather work in front of? A crowd like the Ring of Honor crowd or like a TNA crowd where they kind of just like the show of it all and don't really focus in on who messed up this move and stuff like that?
it's hard to compare because really the TNA crowd was the same set of eyes every 2 weeks. You know, it's for the most part the same people down in Orlando. Honestly, if I had my pick of any kind of crowd to work in front of, it'd be a bunch of kids. I've always enjoyed shows with a lot of kids. They're just there to have fun. They're there to lose themselves in what's going on, and a lot of the other factors kind of get taken out, and it's just kind of pure enjoyment.
We always liked the Austin Aries gimmick. I always thought it worked well, and we're surprised that in TNA they tried to repackage you. Obviously, we know that they like to have ownership on the name and whatnot, but it was really kind of a stretch from what you were used to in Ring of Honor. What was the thinking behind that to try to make you this Austin star gimmick?
You know what? At the time, if you kind of looked at the exhibition, one of the gripes, I guess, or the concerns was that a lot of the guys, no one really stood out. You know, we're all kind of similar looks, similar builds, similar styles. You know, we're all talented wrestlers. So my thought process behind it was to try to stick out some way and maybe do something a little different, a little outside the box, a little more maybe TV-driven entertainment style. And I really enjoyed doing it. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out the way I was hoping in the end. So.
Like you said, didn't work out, but there must have been some bright spots. When you look back on your time there, what were some of the matches or moments that you really enjoyed?
Honestly, just some of the guys were in the locker room, I think. Just hanging out with them was some of the stuff I enjoyed. Obviously, getting to shoot the breeze with guys like Backlund and stuff like that, obviously, is always fun, and you can definitely get some knowledge from those guys and some of the other veterans that have been around, like Jared Lynn and things like that. So I think more than anything else, I just enjoyed some of the guys that are my friends down there.
One of the most frustrating things as viewers of TNA, they've mentioned it often, was in the last year or so, kind of the diminishing stature of the X Division. I think it all started with, those vignettes with Kevin Nash, where it seemed as though he was the only one shining, and it looked like trying to put you guys down. As you guys were part of all that, did you get the same sense, or did you think that there was a long-term plan in all this where this would help each one of your characters grow?
Nah, I don't really think there is any long-term plan. I don't know. Again, that stuff's all in the past, and I've really just tried to shift my focus on Ring of Honor and Dragon Gate and the things I'm doing now, because what's done is done, and there's really no point in rehashing it anymore. I think all the stones have been turned, all the thought processes have been gone through, and at this point it's just time to focus forward.
Couldn't agree more. But I wanted to talk to you about Japan, but one last question just on the TNA. Promise it would be the last one. Just wanted to get clarification on the way things ended, because we've always heard conflicting reports when they, I guess, maybe suspended you, didn't suspend you. What exactly happened with that towards the end of your time there?
I was suspended for disagreement. And at that point, I asked to be released. At first, that wasn't something they were open to, but in the end, we were able to negotiate something, and so both sides were happy with the outcome.
Are you able to talk about what the disagreement was about?
No, that's actually part of the agreement, is that I can't talk about the agreement.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so you mentioned that you work in Japan as well, Dragon Gate. We've always wanted to witness in person, because you hear so much about the Japanese crowd, and Ring of Honor is probably the closest thing to that here in North America. For those that don't know, how different is it to work in front of a Japanese crowd as opposed to one in North America?
Well, first off, the psychology of the matches they're used to is different. So how they react, obviously, to the matches is different than an American crowd would. They're just very respectful. If they're being quiet, it doesn't mean that they're not interested. It means they're probably just paying real close attention, They're smart fans. I think the art of professional wrestling in Japan is a little more respected in the mainstream. So I think that plays into it, too. And people dress up nice. They're out for the evening. They're going to be entertained. They really respect what we put ourselves through in the ring. Not to say that fans from here don't. But just the appreciation level and the respect level there is something I enjoy.
When you're thinking about a match prior to going to the ring in Japan, are you cognizant of the fact that you're in a different country here, that you have to do things differently, or is it pretty much standard procedure in terms of laying out the match?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm there because they want to see me, so I'm not going to go in there and do something completely different.
Right.
In the same token, you have to adapt to the style you're wrestling, the opponent you're wrestling, the people you're wrestling in front of. And that goes for anywhere, not just internationally. But again, you know, if you go to try to have an athletic Ring of Honor style match or a Japanese style match in front of a bunch of 10-year-old kids, I think it's going to be lost on them. And so, I mean, and that works everywhere. You always have to adapt to figure out what's going to entertain these people this night.
You know, with 2008 upon us, we've been talking to a bunch of different wrestlers, just wanting to get their impression on the year that was in pro wrestling. And obviously the biggest story was the Chris Benoit situation. Do you think that, you know, obviously for a moment was a really negative black eye on the sport. Do you think in time that it will prove to be something positive, where maybe changes will happen to better your lives, to better care for you guys, or will it just be, you know, just another incident?
You know, I would have liked to have thought that something like that might have spurred on some real debate over the problems in pro wrestling, but it didn't. I think at the end of the day, it's not going to make much of a difference. You know, you look at it, and it was a tragedy, and it was really an opportunity for the boys to stand up for themselves and say, you know, it's not steroids. You know, the media got a hold of steroids, and that's all they wanted to talk about, and that's, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as the problems. As far as, you know, what I think some of the problems are in this business. And I think after a while it just gets kind of swept under the rug, and everyone, you know, and I see the steroids debate in baseball, and so sure, I mean, the steroids issue is there, but beyond that, you got to look at the schedule, you got to look at the lack of any kind of health insurance, any kind of benefits, any kind of retirement plan, you know. Guys having to work hurt so they can make their paychecks, no off-season. I mean, there's all these things that weren't really talked about, because once the steroids were there, that's what the media wanted to focus on. And I guess from a mainstream standpoint, maybe it was a black eye on the industry, but I think for the people in the industry, it's something that we've known has been a problem for a while. And yet, even after this, the real issues aren't really being addressed. And it's hard because there's no regulation in this industry. It's pretty much a monopoly right now. And, you know, I guess until the government really decides to step in and really, you know, get to the bottom of the real problems, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
You know, they're planning on having congressional hearings in January to look at the problems in pro wrestling. Do you honestly believe that something good could come out of this, that there will be changes, or, you know, the sport has been around a long time and nothing has happened yet?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we've kind of fallen in this vacuum or this black hole where the entertainment industry doesn't want to, you know, put us under their umbrella because they say we're a sport. But yet, you know, the sporting industry says, well, no, it's really more entertainment. You know, it's more art. So, you know, we conveniently don't fall under any kind of protection. You know, you would think being somewhat, you know, on TV and to some respects acting out a scripted storyline or a match, that we'd fall under some guidelines of actors or, you know, TV actors or something like that. But, you know, no one wants to seem to do that. And then from the athletic standpoint, there's no regulations as far as like there used to be. So, I mean, it just goes all the way down the line. And I think some kind of regulation could help, especially like on the independent scene, so that there were certain standards that promoters had to you know, be at in order to run shows, so that just not any Tom, Dick, or Joe could put up a ring somewhere and run a wrestling show without any kind of regulations.
Austin, before we let you go, just, you know, for the fans out there, January, how's it looking for you? Where can people see you wrestle and see you compete next?
Man, January's been pretty busy. I got some Ring of Honor dates. I believe 11th and 12th. Then I fly out for Japan on the 14th. I'm there for 10 days. I'm back for a day and a half, and I fly back out for some more Ring of Honor shows that last weekend. And so pretty much I'm going to be pretty busy in January, but if you want to keep up to date with where I'm going to be, you can always check out my website, austinaries.com.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Continued success to you, and you know, keep doing what you're doing, Ring of Honor, Japan, and everywhere else in between.
Thanks, guys. You too. Keep up the good work on your site. It's definitely gaining some credibility and some, you know, and becoming reputable, so you guys keep doing what you're doing.